Okay, today I want to share with you a topic, an interesting topic from the Sefer Mo'adim L'Simcha. Topic is pretty much on the difference between the laws of Mechias HaMolek and the mitzvah to wipe out the seven nations of Canaan. What is the difference in halacha between the two? And the reason why it's good to focus on the difference, it enhances our appreciation and understanding of the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, the remembrance to obliterate the nation of Amalek. So, there is a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam, when he describes the mitzvah of Lahacharim Shiva Amomin, the mitzvah to destroy the seven nations of Canaan, he says the mitzvah is upon every single individual. In other words, if you're sitting in your home in Tel Aviv, and all of a sudden comes knocking on the door, someone and says, who's there? I'm a chivi. I'm a chivi. So the yachid, the individual who's sitting in Tel Aviv, oh, you're a chivi, you're from the seven nations of Canaan. You have to go and... Okay, I'm not going to. You have to eliminate him, eliminate the existence of such a person. But you're just a private citizen. You're not a government. You're not a part of the Tzahal. You're not. Who are you? The Rambam says. I'll read the words of the Rambam. Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perikei Halacha Dalid Mitzvah Saseh LaHacharim Shiva Amomin Shenemar Hacharim Tacharimam V'Chol Shebol Yodoy. Echad mehen, whenever it occurs that one of the citizens of the seven nations of Canaan present themselves, v'loy harago, and you did not take up arms to kill this person, oiver b'loy saseh, shenemar lo sechaye kol neshama. Then he goes on to say, we'll come a little bit later on, uchvar, we don't have to worry about this anymore. This mitzvah is no longer practical for us because uchvar Ovad, Zichram, they no longer exist. So there's no longer anyone alive today from the seven nations of Canaan that we have to concern ourselves with fulfilling this mitzvah. The Rambam, when he discussed the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, the mitzvah to obliterate the nation of Amalek, he says that the mitzvah is on the Melech and on the Tzibur. It's not a mitzvah for the Yochid. If an Amaleki shows up at your front door and he says, I am a Amaleki, you can say, have a nice day, like to have something to drink, something to eat. It's not your personal obligation. If you were in uniform and you are a representative of the Tzva Haganah Yisrael, and this is the mission of the Melech, then yes, then you're
mechuyev. That's why they did a mitzvah when they got Eichmann, because they didn't want to be even allowed.
When they got Eichmann, they wanted to...
Yeah, he was on Amalek, so they went after him together.
Yeah, right.
That's not what they were thinking.
Call 911.
Okay. But it's a mitzvah on the tzibur. So the question is, why does the Rambam mechalek between the mitzvah, the chilek between the seven Amomin and Amaleki, the seven nations, it's on the Yachin, and among the nations of among Amalek, it's on the tzibur. So that's one issue. Another issue is the chinuch. This chinuch is discussed at great length by the Minchas chinuch and by others. That is another interesting difference. The mitzvah of obliterating the seven nations is applies to women as well. The chinuch says explicitly, "Okay, it's the chinuch mitzvah tof chof hey linyan hariga zaynam kasa mitzvah zono heges bezucharim." Unikevos, bechol makom uvechol zman sheish koyach biyadenu lahargam. Women as well. However, when the chinuch describes the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek, it's only on men. Only men have the obligation to destroy the nation of Amalek. There is no obligation for a woman to wipe out the nation of Amalek. And that's that reason, from what we discussed before, is that's why women are not ikar hadin, are not chayiv in going to hear the kriya of Mechias HaMolek, because it's not their mitzvah. Women are not chayiv to destroy the nation of Amalek. And the question is, why not? Just like women are chayiv to destroy the nation of Canaan, why are women exempt from destroying the nation of Amalek? So these are the two major issues that are dealt with in this topic. It's very interesting. There are two different categories of people that we are obligated to remove from this world: the seven nations of Canaan, the seven nations of the nation of Amalek, and we find at least two differences. at least as major differences, men and women. Amamim, yes. Amalek, no. Only men. And Yachid versus Tzibah. There is another difference, which also begins to open up to explain the difference between the two. What about their property? After we remove the seven nations of Canaan, are we allowed to possess, to continue to own their property, even though it's clear as day that this is a property of the seven nations? They have a city. And all over the city, they have the logo of Hoemori. It's every single piece of jewelry, every utensil. There's a logo with the emblem and the flag of the Emory. Are you allowed to continue to have this in your possession? Absolutely. There's no problem whatsoever. When it comes to Amalek, the halach is not only must you destroy them, you have to destroy their property. And the property means a zecher, anything which reminds you that they exist. So if you have a utensil, and on the utensil, let's say you have a swastika. You're not allowed to kill, let's say you would assume, I'm just giving an example, let's say you would assume that the Nazis were Amalekim. You're not allowed to have it in your possession as a memento. I have a memento.
You can't take it. Mordechai acquired it, Beis Haman.
Oh, very good question. So Mordechai, first of all, based on that, could be an exception for many reasons. It was really his house.
His wealth, everything.
It was really, first, it was really his. It was, Haman was a slave to Mordechai. Masha kone evid kone rabbi. So it was his. Secondly, it didn't go directly to Mordechai, it went to the king. The property was like cleansed. It went to Achashverosh. Achashverosh gave it to Esther. Esther gave it to Mordechai. Okay, you're asking a good question. The question is better than the answer, but it's an interesting point. There's such a halacha called the Zecher Timche. It does not say in the passage just to obliterate Amalek. Timcha as Zecher Amalek. Or Zecher Amalek. What do we say? Zecher Amalek, Zecher Amalek. Right, yeah, both. Right, we say both. That's another discussion. The Timcha is you have to remove the remembrance of Amalek, which includes even their possessions, which remind us of their existence. Which is very interesting. That would mean, you take it to the full extent, there would not be any. I always wondered about this. There wouldn't be any museums. Like today, I mean, how could you, we couldn't imagine living today in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, we have the Yad Vashem, right? So the Yad Vashem, it's all about us. It's not about, but in the Yad Vashem, it's very...
artifacts.
And... Right, in the Yad Vashem, a significant part is are the Nazis, you know? I mean, it's a memorial for the 6 million Kedoshim. It's the 6 million Kedoshim, but the way we remember the Kedoshim is remembering what happened to them, which forces us...
Them,
and we have their possessions, and we have many things. So is that a violation of Timcha as Zecher Amalek? Obviously not. You never heard such a crazy thing. Someone would protest to any having in the museum, but obviously it's not. But why not? Timcha as Zecher Amalek, how do you balance? It's a very hard balance. To remember the Kedoshim, but if you're remembering the Kedoshim, you're remembering the crime that was committed against the Kedoshim. And that you have to do. But on the other hand, you can't remember the evil. Timcha Zecher Amalek.
On the other hand, they were vanquished.
Okay, so where do you draw the line? Okay, but also, who says the Nazis are Amalek? It's not Muchach, they're Amalek. Maybe yeah, maybe not. That's another issue. Okay, but these are the major, it's another difference. The Zayin Amamim, you don't have to destroy their possessions. There's no din to obliterate a zecher. Among Amalek, there is also a zecher. So what exactly is the difference between... Can I give you another example? Another example is Bikuach Nefesh. Let's say the Rambam writes that if a person is in a... It would be Bikuach, maybe it was the Chinuchi, the Rambam or the Chinuchi, maybe they both say that when it comes to the Zayin Amamim, if you find yourself in a matzah Bikuach Nefesh, you don't have to kill them. If it's Sakana, you have some little town in Eretz Yisrael, and they are the Chivim, right, the Chivi, and to go to battle against them would be Pikuach Nefesh, would be Sakonis Nefashos. You're not mechuyev to risk your life it's only when it's safe. When it's perfectly safe, you destroy them. But if it's not safe, you're not mechuyev to wipe out the Canaanim. When it comes to Amalek, You're mechuyev to risk your life. It's a mulchama. Mulchama la Hashem ba Amalek. A mulchama by definition means war, and war by definition means risk your life. It does not say anywhere in the pasuk that you should go to war against the Zion Amamin. It says that you shall hacharem tacharimam. You shall obliterate them. And obliteration, that mitzvah is no different than any other mitzvah. If it's bikuach nefesh for you to go acquire a lulav and esrog, you're not mechuyev to go risk your life to acquire a lulav and esrog. If it's bikuach nefesh for you to obliterate the Zion Amamin, you're not mechuyev to risk your life.
How does that not involve war?
So obviously we don't know. Today it's very easy. Today just press a button.
No, but there's no work on it. But
today you press a button, right? You press a button, send missiles. It means you're in such a state of power. Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael, and we are in such a powerful matzah, we just send them a warning. Either you're going to leave, you're going to get out of here, or you're going to become a gerim, or we're just going to send robots. I don't know what it means. We're just going to...
That's
what they did. But it's a tremendous chiddush. That's what the chiddush says. I mean, we don't relate to this. So we think going to kill the Amamim, we read Sefer Yoshua, there are battles, there are wars. Pikuach nefesh. The battles of the Pelishtim and Sefer Yoshua and Shoeftim were not necessarily a kiyum of the Zayin Amim. These were Mechamis Mitzvah, Mechamis Yeshus. We had enemies, we had Tsaris. It wasn't part of the kiyum of Hacharim Tacharimam. It was a different type of battle. But Me'ikar Hadin, when it's not a matter of Pikuach Nefesh, of Mechamis Hashem, Mechamis Yeshus, it's a fasting Chiddush. There's no aim to risk your life. If they're living at peace, they're living in your land, they have no business being here, Hashem gave us the land, we tell them to get away. We're not mechuyev to risk our lives to get rid of the Zion Amamin. But Amalek, milchama. Milchama by definition means you go to war. Some of these issues are already coming to explain, answer some of the issues. The key point is that Amalek is, we are mechuyev to go to war. Okay, now that concept of going to war opens up a whole different approach. Nashim, Chazal tell us, are not b'nei milchama ninu. When it's a milchames mitzvah, afilu kala mechupasa. But when it's not a milchames mitzvah, then we're not mechuyev, women are not chay, they're not b'nei milchama ninhu. And for that reason, that's why many women, that's why they're not chayv in the mitzvah mechias amolek, they're not chayv to go hear the kriya, because it's not their mitzvah, it's a din of milchama. And that's why it's not on a yochit. If an amoleki comes to you and says, it seems not, there are different types of milchames mitzvah. The classic milchames mitzvah appears to be when we're in sakana, when Klal Yisrael is existence, self-defense, that's a category. It's a milchemetz mitzvah in the sense that we have a mitzvah to do so, but it's not a milchemetz mitzvah with all of the rules where afilu kala mechupasa to that, and even to that degree. It is a very interesting thing which comes out, different types of milchemetz mitzvah. That's what it appears from the Rambam, or the way at least they interpret the Rambam. Now let's go to another. There's really one main point I want to make, but before we get there, let me just bring out another interesting idea from Rabbi Chaim Halevi, from the Brisker Rav. He has a very interesting diuk. His diuk is as follows. This also opens up a difference between the very fundamental difference between the two categories of people. I read you the Rambam when we started. The Rambam's words were, okay, this is the Rambam Hilchas Malachim about the Zayin Amamim, Mitzvah Asei L'Hachrimam Shivas Amim, Shenemar Hachrim Tachrimam, V'kol Shebo L'Yodai Echad Mehem V'loi Harogo Oiver B'loi Sasei, Shenemar L'Sechai Kol Neshama, U'Kivar Ovad Zichram. Their name, their existence already they don't exist. When the Rambam writes about the Milchemes Amalek, he does not conclude with those words. V'chein, he writes, the Rambam's words are, V'chein, he goes further, Mitzvah Saseh La'abed Zecher Amalek, there's a mitzvah saseh to destroy the Zecher Amalek, and the Rambam does not conclude Kvar Ovad Zecher. Why not? Sancheirev came, we all know, and was Mabalbel Kol Haratzos, and there's no longer any pure nation, there's no longer a Mitzrayim, there's no longer an Ashur, there's no longer Amon or Moav, And there's no longer Amalek. None of the nations exist. So if the Rambam went to explain that the Canaanim no longer exist, why couldn't the Rambam say that the Amalekim do not exist? So Rav Chaim Halevi says very powerful Chiddush, that the difference between the Zayin Amomim and Amalek is, we have a chiv to remove the nation, the Am of Canaan. Amalek, it's not the nation. It's Zecher Amalek, it's their ideology. And which means they're alive and well. It's not a biological connection to Amalek. Anyone today in modern times that takes upon themselves the beliefs, the values of Amalek, they are Amalek. So you can't say about Amalek Ukvar Ovad Zichram. What is the philosophy, the ideology of Amalek? Asher Korcho Baderech. Everything that happens in this world is a chance, is coincidence. There is no God, there is no such thing as Hashkocha Pratis. Everything is a coincidence, and there's no need to have a conscience. You can do whatever you want, survival of the fittest, which why many people want to say that Germany, Nazi Germany, is mamish, they typify, they are a perfect fit for the ideology of Amalek, and they were the modern day Amalek. So this is the fundamental difference between the Zayin Amam. The ideology is fine. You want to be, if you have a desire, you have gods, you have idols, okay, we'll put you in a museum. It'll be a good tourist attraction to make some money. We can keep the nation of Canaan live and well, all the seven types of nations, and we can study them, we can understand them, gesunte hate. Do they exist today? They don't exist. Are they in the textbooks, the museums? They sure are, fine and well. Amalek is a much more fundamental type of destruction. It's the Zecher Amalek, their ideology. It's not just the people, it's what they believe in. This has to be obliterated. And therefore the Torah defines the our focus as not just, oh, Hacharem Tacharimam, destroy them. It's Milchama. It's not just Timche, to obliterate. Milchama LaHashem. Your approach, your attitude in dealing with this has to be on a much higher combative level. Once it's a combative level, there's rank and file. Women are not part. It's not for women. Women are not part of this procedure.
But that also means that you really never finish the battle.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's why dar. That's why the pasuk says dar dar.
So the Islamists what? Would be included in that. Says characteristic traits. That's what we have left.
Of Amalek, and this is how
we have to fight.
To remove the midos. Now to tie this all together, there's one word. This word is alluded to in the sefer. He presents it here in the sefer called Minchas Yitzchak. You know what the Minchas Yitzchak is? What's the Minchas Yitzchak?
Weiss. It's in the Haredi.
No. This is an old. I'm not sure which sefer he's referring to. I think it's a different.
It was a place in above,
yeah.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. Now, he doesn't say the exact words I'm saying, but pretty much the essence is there. The fundamental difference between the Zayin Amomim and Amalek is, the Zayin Amomim, the problem was Nidos. Yitzchak told, Rivka told Yitzchak, Katzti b'chayayim b'bnei b'noscheis. When Avraham wanted to take a shidduch for Yitzchak, he sent Yishmael to go back to Aram Naharaim, to go back to Ur Kasdim. Why? He's living over here in Eretz Yisrael. Kei lech lecha mi'aretzcha mi'latcha, here in Eretz Yisrael. So take a local go from Eretz Canaan. No, so the problem, then he made Eliezer swear, don't take a child for my son, or do a go for my son from Benos Canaan. Why? What's the problem with Benos Canaan? The Lavan's better. In Ur Kasdim, they're all Oivdei Avodah Zarah. They're the worst of the worst. Teretz says they're Oivdei Avodah Zarah, but they have good Midos. The Midos are not corrupt. The ideology is corrupt. That can be fixed. Person has false beliefs. You worship a God, so we can straighten you out. We can work with you. We can show you, channel your desire to serve a deity, channel it to serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. But when the midos are corrupt, you live a life of to'eva, that is something wrong with the DNA that cannot be fixed. Removal of the Zayin Amamim represents the removal of bad midos. The removal of bad midos is not given to the tzibur. the nuchama of the Zayin Amimim is upon every single yochid. If a person knocks on your door and says, "Hi, I am a member of the Chivim," so we learned the Rambam, you have an obligation to take matters into your own hands and to kill him. What does that mean? Midos, you have to work on your own midos. You have to remove from yourself character flaws. You can't blame society. Person can't grow up and say, the reason why I'm such a bad person, I'm such a nasty person, is because of my environment. I live in a community where everyone is just a monster. Everyone's a monster among us. It's not for the tzibur. The mitzvah of mechias, hacharim tacharim, es the zayin amim, the Rambam, I'll call yochid v'yochid. Every individual. Amalek? What is Amalek? Amalek is not bad midos. It's not bad midos. It's the denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a religion. To not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a cult. It's an ideology. So as long as they're kept at a distance, keep your distance, stay where you are, that requires a different approach. It's a hatred for Klal Yisrael, for who they are. It has many nafkaminas. If you go through all the nafkaminas, one at a time, with this yisod, with the yisod is to view Amalek as the same way Avraham said to Eliezer, take a daughter from Ur-Kasdim, and don't take a daughter from Canaan, because Canaan, they have bad midos, and bad midos cannot be fixed, but when it comes to Ur-Kasdim, it's an ideology can be fixed, it's different. That approach is the difference between the Zayin Amimim and Amalek, and everything has to be viewed in that light. So let's go look. Yeah, this is to be between men and women. Why are women exempt from the mitzvah of Amalek? Amalek, you don't have to deal with. You can just put in a closet. There's an Amalek out there. Put them in a closet. Just distance yourself. Midos are something that you have to uproot from within yourself. What?
I'm having a problem with this. The idea of obsessive anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Cannot rehabilitate it. That was the philosophy after World War II.
It has to be destroyed.
If only you were, you're right.
I'm making a mistake. I don't mean to say it can be
rehabilitated.
I don't mean it.
It never worked.
Right. It's not to be rehabilitated because obviously the Torah says Timcha Ezech Amalek. But Timcha, it has to be done differently. When you're dealing with getting rid of this corrupt ideology which is going to destroy the entire world, which has to be obliterated, even the Zechra Amalek, it's done in a different approach. It's done as a tzibur. It's done with the rules of war. It's done different than it's done dealing with the more hands-on approach of dealing with the Zayin Amimin. Because the Zayin Amimin is something which is more internal. They're part of Eretz Yisrael. They represent bad midos. It represents something which every yochid has to work on himself.
I don't understand this more internal than Jew hatred. I just don't understand that.
Jew hatred is external. Isolated.
It's internal.
What?
It's internal.
Well, we live today in a world where it's internal. But because we live in a society where we're all blended together with the goyim. But in an ideal state, when you have an Eretz Yisrael living, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, there was no mingling in between Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Jewish state, there's Eretz Yisrael, and then there are nations all over the world. When you come to us, you behave yourself. You want to come into Eretz Yisrael, we'll give you a visa to come in. You have to behave yourself. It's our country. We live in a world today, it's hard to rush the because we're all intermingled. Everyone lives together, Jew, God, there's no difference, man, woman, everything's all the same here in Eretz Yisrael. Everything is a big, big billable. But in the ideal state, Eretz Yisrael is an isolated island. We're living a ghetto, so to speak. There's rishis out there. There's a threat. There's a cancer out there. Amalek. They deny the existence of the Shbarach, who is contagious. We have to deal with it. But we don't deal with it the same way we deal with Canaan. Canaan represents problems within us. Problems within us is given to every single individual to deal with. Man, woman has to be obliterated. It doesn't have to be completely destroyed. I mean, it has to be completely destroyed from within us, but you don't have the concept of the Zecher But when you're dealing with this ideology that exists out in the world, it's just a different approach. It's an approach as a community we deal with it, and we deal with it with the rules of war, and we have to completely obliterate it from the world because it can't exist. Otherwise, the world will be threatened. Okay, that is pretty much the idea. And there's one other quick thing I want to mention very quickly about the concept of a very big question: the Avnei Nezer. We have the union of Amalek. Can an Amalek become a ger? Can an Amalek convert? So the problem is in the story about Shaul, when Shaul died, Shaul was killed at war by the Pelishtim, and the one that reported to David that Shaul was killed was a ger Amaleki. And he said to David, "Who I am a ger, I'm ben ger Amaleki." And Shaul fell on his sword, and he was quivering, and he begged me that I should put an end to his life, and I did so. So along comes David. David gets up and says, "Your own mouth testified against you. How dare you kill the Mashiach Hashem? You killed Shaul, and therefore you killed him." There's a mechilta, very, very famous mechilta. Mechilta says, not like what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk explicitly says that he killed him because he killed the Mashiach Hashem. He killed him because he's a ger Amaleki, and we're not mikabel gerim from Amalek. This is what it says in the Chilta. And David, at that moment in time, remembered when Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael that an Amaleki cannot come in Klal Yisrael, and therefore has to be obliterated. Okay, this is what it says in the Chilta. What?
That would have to be an ethnic Amaleki, not necessarily.
Okay, that's the big question.
Amalek.
Problem is from the Rambam, it's mashma that we're mekabel gerim from Amalek. Big problem. Okay, the Rambam says beferish Amalek. He comes, he wants to be megayer, and there are many rice and chazal bnei bonov. Yes, there are today Nazis. There are today grandchildren of Nazis who are Amalek and learning Torah in bnei Barak mamish. The chazal bnei bonov shel Haman lamdu Torah bnei Barak. So what more do you want than that? Beferish Haman was the quintessential Amaleki, and his Enoch Lach is sitting and learning in Koilul and Bnei Brak. They don't want to go to the army. They don't even go to the army. Yeah? What?
He wasn't a pure Amaleki.
So you want to give it. All right, there's such a thing to answer like that. So how do we reconcile the Rambam, which has on his side many Mamori Chazal, which indicate that you can be Makabal Ager from Amalek, with this Mechilta, which is quoted it's a pretty popular Mechilta, that David killed the Amaleki? He prayed, "I'm a ger Amaleki. Oh, you're an Amaleki. You have to be put to death because we don't accept ger." So there's a fascinating Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer says, he opens up a whole new world, and he says basically there are three types of gerim. Unbelievable. What he said?
Ragechava.
Oh, wait. No. No, not the Ragachava. Avnei Nezer is the Sakachava. So, yeah? Dover be'itay ma'noim. So he says there are three types of ger. There's a ger tzedek. We all know what a ger tzedek is. A full-fledged convert. Then there's a ger toshav. What's a ger toshav? A ger that's willing to mekabel upon himself the Zion mitzvah spenei noyach. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. And he's mekabel. Today there's a movement. You go online. There's something like this today. There are people that mekabel upon themselves Zionist bnei noach. And then he says there's another. Based on what the Rambam says, the diuk of the Rambam, there's a third ger. It's a ger toshav. He's mekabel, but he accepts upon himself to be kofuf tachas Yisrael, to pay mas or to be a slave. So it's not. There's no independence. There's no autonomy. In Eretz Yisrael, you can have people living. You know, you have villages of people living. They're independent people. They're observant. They observe the Zayin Mitzvah Bnei Noach. But we don't tell them what to do. A Yisrael doesn't say to them, "You have to participate in society. You have to go to the army. You got to pay taxes. You got to do your thing." But a Jew doesn't have any shlita. Doesn't have any real power over a ger toshav.
Could they be second class citizens?
A ger toshav, by definition, is a second class citizen. A ger toshav, by definition, is a second class. He's not a Jew. It's a Jewish land. Mm-hmm. You get to vote. I don't know if you get to vote. You're a ger toshav. Maybe yeah, maybe no. But then there's this third category that he invents. This is an amazing chiddush to say such a thing. If not the fact that it was Avnei Nezer, who could say such a thing? There's a third class of ger. You're a ger toshav, but you're not just a ger toshav. I am a slave. I'm a slave. I don't blink. I don't twitch unless you tell me what to do. I completely live. I'm at your service.
A new
category. And he says that's how you reconcile the Mechilta and the Rambam. The Mechilta that says David killed him because he was bring. I'm a ger, ben ger, I'm a leiki. Now it doesn't mean he was a ger tzedek. That for sure not, because that you're not mekabel. That everyone agrees you're not mekabel. Even though today we are, well today we don't really know how I'm a leiki. What is an amaleiki exactly? I think we can't say for sure we have a maleiki. So we are mekabel, but a real amaleiki was not accepted to become a ger tzedek. That can't be. That appears from the Rambam, from all these writings over here in the Moed Simcha. No one allows us to accept a ger tzedek mamish, a ger toishav. Yes and no. A ger toishav that is independent from a molek, from the Zion amamim. Yes, from the umos olam for sure. But from a molek, a ger toishav, no. But a ger toishav that wants to be kof of tachas Yisrael. Third-class citizen, that we accept. And that's what the Rambam means. That's what the Rambam really alludes to. But that's not what the ger tzedek, when the Mechilta was referring to someone who claimed that he was a ger toshav. A ger toshav, that David said, I can't accept you. You're not allowed to live. You can't be independent. We don't trust you. We don't trust anyone that comes from a molek in that status. Okay, so that...